The following is the class given on Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 8, Text 10, given by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded in New Delhi.
Gopi jana bala bhala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 10. Rakshitosmin rahasi Mamake rapi govraje Guru dvijati sanskaram Swasti vachana purvakam Nand Maharaj said, My dear great sage, if you think that you are performing this process of purification will make Kansa suspicious, then secretly chant the Vedic hymns and perform the purifying process of second birth here in the cowshed of my house without the knowledge of anyone else, even my relatives, for this process of purification is essential. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nand Maharaj did not like the idea of avoiding the purificative process. Despite the many obstacles, he wanted to take advantage of Gargamuni's presence and do what was needed. The purificative process is essential, especially for Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Therefore, Nand Maharaj presented himself as a Vaishya. This process of purification was essential. Formerly, such institutional activities were compulsory. Chaturvarna Maya Srishta Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. Without these activities of purification, the society would be considered a society of animals. To take advantage of Gargamuni's presence, Nand Maharaj wanted to perform the Namakarana ceremony even secretly, without any gorgeous arrangement. Therefore, the opportunity for purification should be regarded as the essential duty of human society. In Kali Yuga, however, people have forgotten the essence. Mandasa manda matayo mandya bhagya upadataha. In this age, people are all bad and unfortunate, and they do not accept Vedic instructions to make their life successful. Nand Maharaj, however, they do not want to neglect anything. To keep intact as a happy society, advanced in spiritual knowledge, he took full advantage of Gargamuni's presence to do what was necessary. How degraded society has become within 5,000 years. Mandasa manda matayo mandya bhagya. This human life is obtained after many, many millions of births, and it is intended for purification. Previously, a father was eager to give all kinds of help to elevate his children. But at present, because of being misguided, people are even prepared to kill to avoid the responsibility of raising children. Om Ajnanta Vedantasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshura Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamlan Shri Guru Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagara Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajevam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamshab Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarbhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patnana Pavanevyo Vaishnanevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Alakshitosmin rahasi mamaker api govraje kuru dvijati samskaram swasti vachanam purvakam. So we see over here in this 8th chapter of the 10th canto that Garga Muni had just arrived at the house of Nand Maharaj. Who was Garga Muni? Garga Muni was a priest of the Yadu dynasty. And he was expert in Jyotish Shastra. These days a lot of people claim to be experts in Jyotish Shastra and they just use computer models. But he was a genuine expert in Jyotish Shastra. And Garga Muni was not just an ordinary priest that we are accustomed to. He was highly elevated human being. In fact, he has been addressed in the Bhagavatam as a Dhokshaja. Krishna is addressed as a Dhokshaja. And even Garga Muni gets addressed as a Dhokshaja. Krishna is addressed as a Dhokshaja, which means he's very difficult to understand. Just like in the Bhagavatam, you see that sometimes Narada Muni is also addressed as Bhagavan. And why? Narada Muni is not the original Bhagavan. But he is presenting in the same spirit the philosophy spoken by Bhagavan. So out of respect, he gets addressed as Bhagavan. So similarly, Garga Muni was so elevated that he is being addressed as a Dhokshaja also. And the Bhagavatam has described that he was expert in two things: austerity and penance. So a spiritual personality must be elevated, which means he must have faith in the process of austerity and penances. These days you see a lot of pundits, but they're not really expert in austerities or penances, are they? No. They just become pandits because they know the chants of Vedic mantras. But Garga Muni not only knew how to chant the Vedic mantras, not only was he expert in Jyotish Shastra, but also he was expert in austerities and penances. So from this we understand that anybody who wants to embark on the spiritual path, whether you're a brahmachari or grihastha, vanaprastha or sannyas, if you want to please the Lord, then you have to become expert, then you have to practice austerities and penances. Now, Garga Muni was a priest of the Yadu dynasty, and Vasudev had requested that Garga Muni go to the house of Nand Maharaj. So when Garga Muni came to the house of Nand Maharaj, he was very warmly received. And it was pointed out that great saintly persons, they were actually fully satisfied, Atmanam. Just like the Lord is fully satisfied. Great saintly people are considered to be fully satisfied because they have the most valuable asset in their possession. And what is that? What is the most valuable asset that they have? The holy name. They have the most valuable asset in their possession, that is their holy name. So they're fully satisfied. Just like in that story of Sanatana Goswami and the touchstone. Sanatana Goswami, when that Brahmana went to Sanatana Goswami and said, I want the most valuable thing you have. So first he gave him the touchstone, isn't it? And the touchstone, where was it lying? In our safe? It was lying under a heap of garbage. And that touchstone had the capacity to turn everything into gold. It was a real touchstone, not an imitation touchstone. But then, when the Brahmana went back and said, you must be having something more valuable than this touchstone. Because if this was your most valuable possession, why did you keep it under a heap of garbage? And then what did Sanatana do? He told them to throw the touchstone, and then he gave him the most valuable asset, which was the holy name. So, persons like Garga Muni, they move from one place to another. Why? Just to give association to the householders. The householders, as Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam, get distracted into non-essential activities. And so, these saintly personalities, they travel from one city to another, one location to another, giving people a holy name. Just like Sukadeva Goswami, he would also travel to different householders' homes, isn't it? But Sukadeva Goswami would stay in a householder's house only as long as it took to milk a cow. And then he would travel to the next householder. But Sukadeva Goswami was so powerful that just in a fraction of a second association, he could purify the most sinful of people. So Garga Muni had been described as fully satisfied and as one who was only really interested in enlivening the others. Now, Garga Muni, as I said, was a priest of the Yadu dynasty. Now, Nand Maharaj, he wanted Garga Muni to perform the purificatory process for his two sons. What were the name of the two sons? Krishna and Balaram. But Garga Muni said, if I'm known in society as a priest of the Yadu dynasty, Kamsa is already searching for these two boys. Yoga Maya has already informed him that the eighth son of Devaki was not a daughter, was a son. And so Kamsa already knows that Krishna has appeared and he's hiding in one of the homes. So if I perform this purificatory process, because when you perform a purificatory process, you have to invite all the relatives, all the friends, and in those days it was a small community. So naturally, Kamsa would hear that Krishna is here. And then Kamsa would know where to target, where to find Krishna. So Garga Muni was hesitant in performing this purificatory process in public. And Garga Muni pointed out how Kamsa was a very sinful man and a great diplomat. So Nand Maharaj, he understood what was Garga Muni's concern. So Nand Maharaj is a speaker of the verse that we are discussing today. And Nand Maharaj is saying, my dear great sage. So see the respect that Nand Maharaj is giving to Garga Muni. As we said, Nand Maharaj has already explained that you need nothing for yourself. You're fully satisfied. but you're traveling just for the benefit of others. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered the devotees, Jaya Dakota hai kaho, Krishna Upadesh. Why did he do that? Because a devotee, when he goes out and gives his association and gives people knowledge of Krishna, the sinful people begin to get purified. So, Nand Maharaj, he's giving great respect to Garga Muni, because Garga Muni was fully satisfied being a very elevated person. So in this verse, Nand Maharaj is saying that, my dear great sage, if you think that you are performing this process of purification will make Kamsa suspicious, then secretly chant the Vedic hymns and perform the purifying process of second birth. And where did he say to do this? In the Goshala, in the cow shed of my house. In fact, in the Krishna book, there is a famous painting of Garga Muni in the house of Nand Maharaj's Goshala. And he said, this purity process you must perform, even if none of my relatives come, doesn't matter. But this ceremony must be performed. Now, Prabhupada's entire purport is devoted to this one theme. That is the theme of performing purificatory process. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Saha Yajna Praja Sreshtva Puro Vacha Prajapati. In the very beginning, the Lord sent forth generations of men and told them, be thou happy by the performance of yajna. So in the very beginning of creation, the Lord told humanity, if you want to be happy, you must perform yajna. Then in the third and the fifth chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, which are called Karma Yoga, Krishna explains the concept of Karma Yoga in great detail. And the summary is, Yajnata karma nayam nyata lokayam karma bandhana. That if yajna is done for the pleasure of the Lord, then it frees you from the bondage, isn't it? And if activities are not done for the pleasure of the Lord, then it further entangles you in the bondage. So the process of purification must be there. And if the process of purification is not there, then society is as good as animalistic. Dharmena hina pashubhi samana. It says in the Puranas, dharmena hina. Hina means without, dharmena means dharma. Pashu means animal. And samana means life. So without the principles of religion, human life is as good as animalistic life. So Prabhupada makes many points in the purport, but all focusing on one theme. That is the theme of purification. So Prabhupada is explaining that Nand Maharaj, just look, he was in a very precarious position. His beloved son's life would be in danger if the word spread around that this is where Krishna is. But in spite of being in this difficult position, he wanted to perform the purificatory process. And therefore, he was requesting Garga Muni, do the ceremony, but do it in my Goshala. And I will not call anyone. I will not even call my close relatives. But please do this ceremony for purification. So, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. He is Purnam, complete in all respects. But the Lord teaches by example. Just like when Krishna came in order to be exemplary, the Lord also took on a spiritual master, namely Sandipani Muni. And he set the example how, in the mood of humility, one must serve a genuine spiritual master. Similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Again he took on a spiritual master. Who was it? Ishwara Puri. So over here, Nand Maharaj, the foster father of the Lord, is also setting the example, the need to perform purificatory yajna, especially for Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Siddhas, they don't have to perform. Siddhas get purified just by serving these three varnas, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. But the purification process is a must for everybody else. In the purport, Prabhupada quotes text 13 from the 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarna Maya Shrestham Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. Krishna says in the 4th chapter that I have divided the society into 4 varnas and 4 ashramas. Huh? What are the 4 varnas? Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra. And the 4 ashrams are Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. Now, Vishnu Aradate. In the Vishnu Purana, it is stated that regardless of which varna or ashrama you may belong to, the real process must be pleasure of Vishnu. Isn't it? That is the highest. Varnashram doesn't mean that sense gratification becomes the focus of life rather than pleasure of Vishnu. Varnashram. There is Varnashram and then there is Daiva Varnashram. In Varnashram concept, there is room for some degree of self-pleasure. Therefore, when Ramananda Roy explained to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Varnashram, following Varnashram as the highest goal of life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected it. Which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instead accepted the highest goal of life as one where every activity is dedicated for the pleasure of the Lord. So, Varnashram is still tinged with materialism. But Daiva Varnashram is beyond Varnashram, which means every activity is for the pleasure of the Lord. So, we in the Krishna Conscious Movement should endeavor to come to the platform of Daiva Varnashram. Now, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, there's also another verse, and Prabhupada has quoted this verse twice in a span of 6 lines. Twice Prabhupada is quoting the same verse. Manda manda samatayo mandya bhagayu padataha. That in Kali Yuga, the society is very unfortunate. They are misguided, quarrelsome, isn't it? Everybody is quarreling with everyone. And unfortunate. Why? Because they cannot see the need for self-realization. And the parents, instead of focusing and being concerned about giving their children spiritual knowledge so that they can achieve the goal of life, they completely neglect them. And as Prabhupada says in the concluding line, they're even prepared to kill the children instead of just raising them. Just like in India, everywhere you see signs, abortion, abortion, isn't it? So tragic. Just like these days, in India, they're experiencing now a big drought in Gujarat, Rajasthan, in many parts. And the whole world temperature is changing. The whole world temperature is getting warmer and warmer. Even in many parts of America, in the Midwest America this year, they're having a severe drought. In Australia, in many parts of the world this year, the weather is increasing, the heat on the planet is increasing. Now, when the heat of the planet increases, then the rainfall gets affected. And why is the heat increasing? Due to the pollution. You want all this industrialization, you want to go against the laws of God, you want to break the laws of nature, go ahead. The material nature will retaliate. Krishna says, Maya Dakshina Prakati Suite Sa Chara Chara. This material energy is working under my direction. If you think that material energy is working in the direction of noble laureates, then you're in illusion. So now, what's happening is, the world is getting warmer and warmer. And the prediction is that in another 25 years, it's going to be unbearable heat. Even in countries which are cold, the heat is going to increase tremendously. So what is happening, the clouds are not forming, and there's not enough rainfall. So as a result, India is in drought now, many parts of America are in drought, and so on. So why is all this happening? This is all a reaction to our sinful activities. When we perform sinful activities in society, when we perform killing of innocent children in the womb, when we perform killing of innocent cows in slaughterhouses, etc., then there's going to be severe reaction on society. And that's the reaction comes through the medium of floods, drought, earthquakes, and other disorders. Nothing comes without a reason. So this is a result of sinful activities. Just like in the Bhagavatam you read, during the reign of King Vena. King Vena was very godless and he had stopped the society for performing sacrifices. So as a result, material nature went on strike. And material nature withheld the supplies. The earth would not release grains, the oceans and the mountains would not release diamonds and minerals, the trees became dry, there were no fruits on the trees, and the whole society was starving. Then he was cursed to die by the Brahmanas because he disregarded the advice of the genuine Brahmanas, and then his son King Prithu was installed on the throne. And when King Prithu was installed, then he at once told the citizens, his first command was, chant the names of the Lord, and then material nature also cooperated. So, the purification process must be there. Now, in Kali Yuga, what do we do? What is the purification process in this age? Nand Maharaj wanted to perform the Namakana ceremonies, but he was ready to do it in a simple way, not in a very fancy, opulent way. So this purification process, yajna, samskars, must be performed for purification. Of course, we must also have the necessary actions. Not that you just call a priest and do some samskars and you become a Brahmin and your activities are like that of a sudra. No. You don't need a United Nations. You need an institution that will emphasize the importance of yajna, dana and tapasya. Tapasya we've already covered. We made the point that Garga Muni was respected in society. Why? Only because of two things, austerity and penance. Because Garga Muni was expert in austerity and penance, he was respected by Nand Maharaj, Vasudev and all the members of the Yadu dynasty. So our strength comes from austerity and penances. And austerity and penances, or tapasya, the supreme. But now, that is tapasya. Like in Krishna consciousness, we follow the four regulative principles, we follow the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, we chant 16 rounds, and so on. Now, yajna and dana. What's the yajna for this age? The Bhagavatam explains, Kritiya Dhyayato Vishnu. Sretayo yajato makhe, dvapare parichayanam kalo tadhari kirtana. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that in Satya Yoga, the process of yajna was meditation on the Lord. In Treta Yoga, the process was elaborate sacrifices. Very elaborate sacrifices in which many genuine brahmanas and pure ingredients would be required. In Dwarpa Yoga, the process was opulently worshipping the Lord. Very opulent worship, you would go to the temple, always carrying gifts and so on. And in Kali Yoga, you can get the same benefit. How? by chanting the holy names of the Lord. By chanting the holy names of the Lord in Kali Yuga, you can get the same benefit that you could have received in previous ages. Now, one important point is the importance of pure bhakti, the importance of purification through the medium of austerity and penances, and the importance of meditating on serving the Lord in the process recommended in the scriptures. That is important. Just like in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, you read the story of Narada Muni's dialogue with Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva had compiled this vast Vedic literature, summarized it in the Vedanta Sutra, and also presented the Mahabharata for the benefit of the women, less intelligent men, and the children. But in spite of all this, he was still not satisfied. There was something missing. And as he was meditating on this, Narada Muni appeared on the scene. And Narada Muni explained to him that the reason why he was feeling despondent was that he had presented a philosophy that also helped identify with the body, but did not present the unlimited glories of the Lord and the process of pure devotional service. Then they evolved a very nice dialogue between Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, where Vyasadeva asked Narada Muni as to how did he obtain such an elevated birth. And then Narada Muni explained how in his previous life he was the son of a maidservant. His mother was just a maidservant. And she happened to serve in the house of the great sages. Normally great sages always travel, but during the rainy season, 4 months of the rainy season, they stay in one place and chant and read. So Narada Muni's mother happened to have the privilege of serving the house of these great sages for 4 months a year. And during this period, he would have the opportunity to hear the discourses of the great sages. And once he had the opportunity of getting some remnants of foodstuff left behind by the great sages. So on one occasion, his mother, and Narada Muni explains how he was not at all attached to playing. He was always interested. And he was very inspired by the philosophy that he heard from the great sages. As they say, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra kaya, lava mata sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi haya. By spiritual association, one gets elevated. So once Narada Muni's mother was going to milk a cow, a snake on the way bit her, and she died. So when she died, he was a young child, 5-year-old boy. Prior to this, his mother was very attached to him because he was the only relative she had. And then Krishna took the mother away. So the child became totally dependent on the Lord. He considered this as the Lord's mercy. And he went on traveling in the direction of north. He traveled through many villages, towns, mountains, rivers. And then he sat down underneath a banyan tree and he began to meditate. He began to meditate exactly in the manner that he had heard from the great sages. And because he meditated exactly in the manner that he had heard from the great sages, he then got a glimpse of the Lord. And the Lord revealed himself and then hid himself, withdrew himself to increase his anxiety for the Lord. So Prabhupada explained, so Narada Muni, he was a young boy, but he also, when he meditated exactly in the process that he had heard from the great sages. He did not speculate on that process. You understand? That's the important point to note. He meditated exactly in the manner that the great sages had described. And Prabhupada explains that Narada Muni achieved the stage of bhava, or Krishna prema, But in order to get to that stage, we have to pass through many processes. And this has been very nicely explained by Rupa Goswami. Initially, it all begins with Shraddha. In the beginning, it begins with Shraddha, having desire that I must achieve the goal of life. And that Shraddha then brings you in association with devotees, known as the process of Sadhu Sangha. And then once you have the right Sadhu Sangha, then you get trained in the process of Bhajana Kriya. Just like when you come in contact with devotees, they tell you, please chant Hare Krishna. You may start chanting one round, two round, gradually build up to 16 rounds, start reading books, start following one principle, then you go to two principles, then you come to four regulator principles. So this is known as the process of Bhajana Kriya. So when you actually, and Bhajana Kriya includes the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means following rules and regulations, Mangalati, class, etc. When you follow this process of Bhajana Kriya, then there is the process of Anartha Devrati. The Anarthas, the Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Mad, Matsarya, they begin to get weak. And if you still stick to the process of Bhajana Kriya very strictly, then as you stay on the process of Bhajana Kriya, there is the process of Nishtha. Then you get to the stage of Nishtha. Nishtha is the stage where you can determine, now I must stay on devotional service. Sometimes we see that people take the process of Krishna consciousness, they get initiated, they become sannyasis also, but then they leave Krishna consciousness. Why? Because they have not reached the stage of Nishtha. They have not sufficiently done good Bhajana Kriya to realize the value of devotional service. And if you keep staying on the path of Nishtha, you keep executing devotional service, Bhajana Kriya, then you get to the stage of, Ruchi, not Suchi, Ruchi. Then you get to the stage of Ruchi. Ruchi means taste. Do we have taste at the moment? Do we have taste? At best, our only Ruchi at the moment is for Krishna Prasad. At best. Our only real taste is for Krishna Prasad. Especially when it is feast. Then, but we really have no Ruchi for the holy name. And if we keep endeavoring, then you get to Asakti, and then you come to the stage of Bhava or Krishna Prem. But that is a process that you have to endeavor. Now, we gave you this story in a nutshell for two reasons. One is, we wanted to establish that if you want to please the Lord, you have to follow the process that is recommended by the sages and the scriptures. Narada Muni meditated because that is what he heard from the sages. Now the scriptures are clearly telling us in Kali Yuga, what you have to do is chant the holy names of the Lord. Second thing is, we must realize that in order to advance on the spiritual path, you cannot take any shortcuts. You cannot bargain. You cannot compromise. You have to accept the teachings as it is. Then you get the full benefit. Otherwise, what does Krishna say? Ye yathamam prapadyate. All of them as it's rendered to me, I reward them accordingly. You surrender to Krishna 10%, Krishna gives you 10% bliss. You surrender 5%, 5%. 1%, 1%. And 90%, 90%. So it depends upon us. So we follow the process. The process of purification in this age is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And as you know, the different stages of chanting the holy name. There is the initial stage, where you chant the holy name and commit offenses. The intermediate stage, where you chant and minimize the offenses. And then the advanced stage, where you chant and don't commit any offenses at all. Every morning we chant the 10 offenses, but every day when we chant our rounds, when we practice Vaishnava behavior, when we deal with other Vaishnavas, when we are out in the material world preaching, we should meditate on the 10 offenses. And we should take full precautions that we escape the influence of the 10 offenses if you want to make spiritual advancement. So to summarize the verse, Nand Maharaj is talking to Garga Muni. Garga Muni was expert in Jyoti Shastra, was a priest of the Yadu dynasty, was expert in penances and austerities, and Nand Maharaj is telling him, please perform, what to perform? Please perform the purification process for my two sons. Where? In the Kaushala, Gaushala. So we must all understand that without going through a purification process, human life is like animal life. And if you go through the purification process, then it is human life. Hare Krishna.